From the studios at Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Every year, foreign workers are brought to Idaho through a federal program to help fill a shortage of agricultural laborers on farms and ranches here in our state. Nearly 600 people that are part of this program take on positions as sheep herders. They come from places like Peru and Mexico for an opportunity to make more money and to build a better life back home. Now, herders in these circumstances often have really isolating jobs that come with long hours and even in some instances, mistreatment, which was the case for one sheep herder who described his time under a particular rancher's employment as close to imprisonment. Idaho Statesman reporter Ian Mac Stevenson dug into this story, and he is joining us now to talk more about what he found out. Ian, thanks for coming back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Gemma.
So, Ian, let's go back to 2017. This is when a Basque sheep herder filed a lawsuit against an Idaho rancher describing incredibly harsh working conditions. Can you tell us a little bit about that case?
Yes. Yeah, so this is a rancher named John Anchustegui, who had a ranch out near Mountain Home. And this particular employee had worked for the rancher for several decades. His name was Sabino Labar. And he filed a lawsuit in 2017, alleging that he'd been withheld something like over $250,000 in unpaid wages, and that he had working as a ranch hand and also a sheep herder at this rancher's farm, and that he had also been prevented from getting medical care, prevented from getting a driver's license, and had been essentially, largely, he alleged, unable to leave the ranch itself and sort of have freedom mm-hmm. of movement.
Okay, and so it's, oh, go ahead, continue.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that the rancher denied these claims back then, and he said that the employee had largely retired from the ranch at that time, and the case was eventually settled.
Okay, but it seems like this lawsuit, Ian, brought to light really a lack of oversight and maybe even protections that should have been in place for these workers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, these workers are really isolated circumstances that they work under. They're working really far out in remote places generally, or they're on their employee's ranch depending on the part of the year. And so these working conditions that they live in are, because they're highly unusual, a lot of worker advocates and labor advocates say that they're across the Mountain West, not in Idaho, that these laborers are very mm-hmm. vulnerable to exploitation because of their isolation, their lack of resources. And so I wanted to kind of look at what the landscape was in Idaho for these workers. And what I found were patterns of similar complaints from herders about not being paid correctly, not having enough food or water, getting sick and being denied medical care. And I think you kind of touched on this, but to give listeners sort of a sense of the situations that these workers are in, they generally spend all summer up in the mountains. They're working alone or in pairs, tending a flock of sheep. They're living generally in covered wagons or tents. That means they don't have bathrooms generally, no plumbing, no kitchens, no electricity other than perhaps a solar phone charger. So it's basically an extended camping trip, sometimes deep in the wilderness, miles from roads or even established trails. Generally, their only in-person contact with the outside world is their boss, who comes once a week or every 2 weeks to check on the sheep and to bring them food and supplies. And they're also some of the lowest paid workers in the country. They make about $1,900 a month at the moment is the federal minimum. So that's kind of the landscape that these workers are in. And I wanted to look at what the situation was in Idaho. And I found, going back for a decade, a number of complaints against ranchers related mm-hmm. to these kinds of things, issues with water, lack of food, lack of sufficient housing, and being paid incorrectly.
And in your article, you make mention that this rancher who had the lawsuit against him, he had had complaints against him before, right? I mean, this wasn't the first time that someone had said that he mistreated these employees.
Right. So that particular worker filed that lawsuit in 2017. But through public records, I found that there were complaints against this rancher going back 20 years, ranging from lack of pay to inadequate housing. I know that he faced at least 4 federal investigations by an agency called the Wage and Hour Division of the Department of Labor. It's essentially a law enforcement agency that looks into these kind of labor complaints as well as other labor complaints. And so as a result of those 4 investigations, those resulted in sanctions for close to $8,000 in fines. And I also found what I thought was additionally really interesting were communications between state employees of the Idaho Department of Labor, kind of raising alarms about the employer. These are people like housing inspectors who come to inspect worker housing. One of these inspectors said that this employer was very intimidating, and said that inspectors were told not to go to his property alone. The inspector also alleged that they were yelled at by the employer for flagging problems in the housing, or that he prevented workers from being alone with the state employees. So in other words, they sort of weren't able to speak with or ask questions of the workers. And so, yeah, these complaints go back at least to the early 2000s from workers and also from the state employees.
So then, Ian, how was he able then to continue to employ these individuals in particular? I mean, if we have these complaints, if he's being sanctioned, I mean, the Department of Labor is then still sending him employees. How is that possible?
Right. So the H-2A program is the visa classification that these workers come under. It's for migrant farm workers. And it's a pretty complicated process. It goes through the Department of Labor, also Citizens and Immigration Service, also the Department of State, and then also the state workforce agencies, as they're called. So in Idaho's case, that's the Idaho Department of Labor. So all of these various agencies kind of work in tandem to approve requests. But these agencies are supposed to, if there are problems from employers that are repeated, repeated violations or indications that an employer is unwilling to follow the laws as they should, they can do what's called the various methods. They can stop helping a worker, or I'm sorry, helping an employer find new workers because they have to post the jobs through an online service. And also the federal Department of Labor can pursue something called debarment, where they basically, it's another method of preventing a employer from getting new workers. But those steps were never taken against this employer, and the Idaho Department of Labor, you know, they declined to comment on why they had done that in this case. They declined to comment on this, the specifics of this. But I think that from talking to employees at the federal Department of Labor, I think it's a pretty strong step to take against an employer to prevent them from posting on this job service which is what the Idaho Department of Labor does, because it essentially, in the case of sheep ranches, it basically would likely put the ranch out of business, because foreign workers are, for the last several decades, really the only people who are interested in being sheep herders. It's really tough, isolated work, as we've talked about. So there aren't a lot of American workers looking to work these jobs. And so if you're not able to access foreign labor, it's unlikely that you'll be able to find someone to tend your sheep.
Mm. And that is part of the issue, is that there is just a shortage of domestic workers who would do this work. So therefore, I'm assuming, Ian, this federal program is put in place to bring people, as we mentioned, from other countries to do this type of labor.
Exactly. And these are the same visas. Generally, they're for migrant farm workers. So things like seasonal apple picking or harvesting various crops, temporary work or seasonal work that's for a few months of the year, and then they return to their country. It's not a sort of visa that allows people to have permanent residence in the country. It's to fill a labor shortage.
So, Ian, as we mentioned, you really took a deep dive. And as we talked about, the Department of Labor did continue to assist this rancher in hiring foreign workers, even with all of these complaints. And as you said, the Department of Labor, you know, has not commented, but in the reporting that, that you did, do you think it came down to, as you had mentioned, I mean, his entire ranch would have potentially fallen apart if he didn't have these ranch hands, these sheep herders?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say specifically in this instance what caused them to not take further action. Mm-hmm. I will say that the Federal Department of Labor, they did tell me that they, after one particular investigation in 2014, they said they considered pursuing debarment against the employer, but that he made credible and specific assurances that the violations would not continue in the future. And so, yeah, it's hard to say specifically, but I think in, you know, unlike in some other industries, perhaps, sheep ranching really at the moment in the U.S. is so reliant on foreign workers that it's a really strong stick to wield by the enforcement agencies if they take action like that.
Mm. So, Ian, how common are these kinds of complaints within this industry?
Yeah, so I looked at public records of the last decade of complaints, and I found six complaints that were filed either by a worker themselves or on behalf of a worker with the Idaho Department of Labor. That's out of several hundred or even thousands of sheep herders who've worked in Idaho over the last decade or so. So, you know, certainly not every sheep herder is alleging that they have an experience like this. Mm-hmm. But I think that I should also note that those six complaints, they leave out potential complaints that were filed directly with the federal government, because those are harder to get access to on short notice. So there may be some other complaints in there that I'm missing. But I think that one other thing to note here is that in talking to attorneys in Idaho who've represented sheep herders over the years in these kinds of cases where they have allegations about not being paid correctly or sufficiently, one thing one attorney told me is that these people, you know, they come here, they're really looking to find a job that will pay them a wage that they can use to support their family. Most of them send money back home. Perhaps they use it to buy a farm back home in Peru. These wages, just, you know, despite being low by U.S. standards, are much higher than what someone is likely to earn back in Peru mm-hmm. or Mexico. And so they're really motivated to keep their jobs and to, you know, do well by them. And so I think for a lot of workers, this attorney told me that, you know, it has to get really bad for someone to actually file a complaint. And often the complaints, they don't necessarily know who to go to directly. So they might call the Peruvian consulate, or they might, you know, so in some instances, I found complaints. Someone had a worker had gone to a neighbor's home of where they were living, talked to them, and then that had been filed, you know, reported to the Department of Labor. So often I think there are issues of not knowing where to go if there are issues with complaints, not mm-hmm. knowing how to file them, and not wanting things to go poorly. Because another sort of facet of these visas is that, you know, unlike a normal job where if you have a problem with your employer, you can quit and go work for someone else. In the case of these H-2A sheep herders, their visa is specifically tied to their employment with a specific employer. So if they leave their job, they actually are violating the terms of their visa. And so that's sort of an additional, I think, disincentive for workers to come forward with problems, because they don't really have that ability to quickly go to a different job, if that makes sense.
Right. No, they could, and then they would end up probably having to go back to their home country. So with that said, Ian, here we have this, this lawsuit in 2017, as you said, it was settled. So where does the Department of Labor come in then to enforcing protection, worker protection laws for these employees?
Yeah. So the Idaho Department of Labor, what they do is they do housing inspections. So they're tasked with, before the workers move into the housing, they come and inspect it. They go through a checklist of things. And they also do have a sort of division that works on farm worker issues. They told me that they have 12 employees who monitor farm worker conditions. That's, you know, across sheep herders and also other agricultural workers in the state. And then there are other aspects of this that are handled by the federal wage and hour division of the U.S. government. They do things like they'll do spot inspections during the terms of the employment sometimes. So when a worker's actually there. But I think the federal government at least has rather limited resources. They have, they told me that they have three employers who do this kind of work in this for the whole state of Idaho, and that they can bring in additional resources when they, when needed. But that's only three people who are covering, you know, potentially lots of complaints from these workers, but also restaurant workers, people in other categories of work. And in a lot of instances, I think because of the isolation of these particular workers, for instance, if they were to try to come to a property, come to a inspect a sheepherder's wagon, for instance, unannounced, they might not be able to do that because these herders are often working miles from roads, even miles from trails, way up in the mountains in the sort of steep country of Idaho. And so they may need to be in touch with the employer first to even know where the worker is, in which case they're sort of, they need some guidance from the employer to get to the worker. And so that's sort of an additional complication with trying to enforce labor laws in these instances.
Well, what's been the response from these employers who've been accused of mistreatment?
So most of the employers that I talked to declined to comment about the cases specifically. And I should say in the case of Venshustigi, this particular rancher, he actually died earlier this summer. So I unfortunately was not able to talk to him. Although, as I mentioned, he had denied these allegations in the lawsuit earlier back in 2017 when it was filed. And I can say that I've talked to some ranchers generally who work in the sheep industry. You know, some families in Idaho have been sheep ranching for over 100 years. And one rancher told me that he thought the sort of complaints were overstated of workers, and that, you know, a lot of these workers do have a good experience working in this country, and that they come back and return for, you know, decades. Some sheep herders have been working for 10, 20 years for a particular employer, and that they're able to send money back home for their families. Interestingly, though, one rancher, I thought he told me that he'd like to see some reforms to the program. For instance, opportunities for families to visit the sheep herders. For instance, if someone has a wife or a child back home, that they could potentially come to the U.S. for periods to see their husbands, to see the sheep herder, that would be a helpful reform, he thought. But I think in general, the from the sheep industry, I don't think that they think that these issues are sort of widespread, and that they say that there are sort of adequate enforcement tools to deal with problems when they come up. But I think what I found in my reporting is that in most cases, when there have been these complaints, the sheep ranchers have not been prevented from getting workers in the future, and they've been continued to allow to be allowed to pursue getting workers in subsequent years.
Well, Ian, thank you for taking time to talk with us about this. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Want to learn how to be a master of business without going back to school? Listen to the Planet Money MBA. No suits, no PowerPoints, just the secrets of business school delivered straight to your ears. Every Wednesday till Labor Day on Planet Money from NPR.